A good Lord's Day morning to you, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and it is my joy to once again worship the Lord in the teaching and preaching ministry of His Holy Word today. It is my blessing to meet with you in fellowship via the airwaves of ABC Radio this Lord's Day, Sunday, June 21st, Father's Day. Friends, you can learn more about our ministry at missionafricajk.home.blog. In light of today being Father's Day, an internationally recognized day in which fathers around the world are remembered and are to be honored, I've chosen as our text today Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, great and true living God, you are a blessed and good father. We thank you for your care for all men, and especially for your children saved by the precious blood of your own Son, our Savior and God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bless you, God our Father, for you have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts by which we cry out, Abba, Father. We honor you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you praise. We respect your great and awesome name. And we love you with all of our hearts so that we turn from the sin that you hate. And we turn to you, the only blessed God. We worship you now and we will forever by the precious grace of your Son. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us once again and encourage godly fathers in their duties this day, and enable us to remember fathers and honor them as your word calls us to. And I ask it in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen and amen. Friends, we find that the very first word in the concordance, that is the Strong's Concordance in Hebrew, is the word Ab. It means father, patrimony, or principal, or superior. And this word, father, is found in Hebrew and Greek in our concordances hundreds of times. It is commonly found in our Bibles. The dictionary definition of a father is that he is a male parent. The Bible teaches that God is a father. That is, he is the source. He is the creator. He is the one who has begotten, caused us to exist. God is male. God is not female in the scriptures. And God created first the man, Adam, a male, and from the man he created the woman, a female. And God called them mankind. God, who is male, called men, and those who come from the man, mankind. We see in this the biblical truth of the fatherhood of God. And the Bible is clear that God calls us to honor him. It's necessary to define God in these terms, in these times of confusion in which we live, especially in light of gender confusion. The Bible calls us to honor God, our Father, and Malachi 2:10 tells us that he is indeed the father of all men that he has created. That verse says, have we not all one father? Has not God created us? God the Father, the creator of all, is especially the father of his saved children. And the Bible calls us to honor one's father, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, the verse that I read to you, our text verse today, because in his wisdom, God, who has all authority, requires of men that we honor Him. He is the Father of all. And as a Father, He must be honored. And that we also honor those that God has appointed to or placed in authority. God has ordained all authority that exists, and God requires that in honor of His authority, that we honor all subsequent authorities that He has ordained. God has invested authority in fathers, hence His commandment to honor fathers, to reverence them, to respect the authority He has given to them. And as we honor fathers, we enjoy the blessed benefits of peace and good order, and the benefit of long life, as we see in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, the condition of honoring the father, the head of the family, and also the mother, is that those who did so would enjoy the benefit of a long life, of things being well with them in life. This makes such good sense to us as we think about this for a moment, because if we are in line with God, who has all authority, and with our fathers and mothers, and indeed with all that God has appointed to some measure of authority, then we are in line with the will of God, and we will enjoy the benefit, the blessings of God, of long life, and of good, orderly lives in which we enjoy the goodness of the Lord that He gives to us. We see in the commandment, in the Decalogue, to honor our fathers, that God's requirement is that we honor all who are in authority over us, who have the right, the God-appointed right and duty to rule over us. The Bible is clear that we honor God our Father as we obey Him. That is, we honor Him as we keep His commandments. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we honor and love our Father as obedient sons, as obedient children, when we follow Him and obey Him. Jesus says a lot about obedience to God, obedience to Christ's word and will, in John chapter 15. Indeed, He says there that we must abide in Him and obey the Father. If we do not keep God's commandments, we will not abide in Christ. We dishonor God as we disobey Him, as we do not keep His commandments, as we do not honor and respect His word in obedience. A.W. Pink, a Christian teacher, has written, "Failure to honor father and mother, wherever it is found, is in large measure due to parental departure from the scriptural pattern. Nowadays, the father thinks that he has fulfilled his obligations by providing food and raiment for his children, and by acting occasionally as a kind of moral policeman. Too often the mother is content to be a domestic drudge, making herself the slave of her children instead of training them to be useful. She performs many a task that her daughters should do in order to allow them freedom for the frivolities of a giddy set. The consequence has been that the home, which ought to be for its orderliness, its sanctity, and its reign of love, a miniature heaven on earth, has degenerated into a filling station for the day and a parking place for the night, as someone has tersely expressed it." The Bible teaches that God is our Father, the Creator, the Source, that we all came forth from Him. And He calls Himself the Father of men, and He is to be honored and glorified as a Father, wonderfully He is our Father and will be glorified ultimately in every life, some in salvation, some in judgment. And Christ is called by the Holy Spirit the everlasting Father in Isaiah 9, verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I love to think of Jesus Christ as my Father that I can draw near to, and who has brought me to His Father, who has also become my Father, God the Father and God the Son. God creates us. He is the source. He is the beginning. He has revealed Himself to us as the Father of men. Mark chapter 10, verse 19 says, "So Jesus said to him," and then the text mentions various sins that are not to be committed. These are adultery, murder, stealing, lying, and defrauding, and ends this teaching and admonition with the thought, honor your father and mother. And so to honor one's father is not simply an Old Testament commandment for the Jews. This is an abiding principle and spiritual law that Christians are to keep in love for God because of the precious Lord Jesus Christ, honoring our Father. Also, Malachi 1:6 says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name." Here, the very priests of Israel were not honoring God as a father, reverencing him as a master. This is the heart of sin. And the heart of obedience and blessing is to love and honor our Father in heaven. In Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 through 32, we see what is called many times the parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal is a word which means wasteful. It's sometimes called the parable of the lost son, but it could perhaps well be called the parable of the waiting father. And as we turn to these verses, I encourage you to read them today in light of this day in which we seek to honor fathers, that the good father's qualities that are seen in the parable are these. He is a loving and affectionate father. He does not keep his heart back from his sons. He opens his heart and expresses his loving affection, his fatherly love for his sons. He is a merciful father. He is an understanding and graciously forbearing and patient father. He is not provoked quickly. He is slow to anger, slow to wrath. And he is an understanding father. He understands the condition of sin that both of his sons are caught in this parable. He understands the solution for the sins of his sons in the grace of God. And he declares that solution. He is willing to forgive. He is eager to bless them. He is a generous father who desires to give good things, and he gives freely, quite generously. He is a father who in wisdom saw the real issues and really what is at stake in the parable, that is the life or death of his son. And he is a father who, in God-given ability, by grace, restores his erring son to relationship and back to good favor with his father. The scripture says, what is desired in a man is a heart of mercy. We could rephrase that, a heart of love, as we see in the father in the parable of the lost son. We see the same qualities of fatherly godliness in Abraham and in Joshua and in Job in the Old Testament. We remember that Abraham is the exalted father, the father of nations, and that Abraham obeyed God, not perfectly. He was a sinner like all of us, though redeemed by the grace of God. He is a patriarch known for his obedience to God and the resultant blessing that has come to a multitude of peoples as the sand of the seashore because he was faithful. We see that Joshua, in his love for God, in his obedience and honor to his father God, declares that he and his house would serve the Lord. Job was a man who cared for his children and fulfilled his great duty of praying for his children if they had sinned against the Lord, against God, their father. Of course, the best example of a good father in the Bible is that of the true Father, of God our Father, and God the everlasting Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our great example, the everlasting Father. And if we will be honorable as fathers, if we are to honor fathers and God our Father, then we must follow his example in love, honor, respect, worship of God, esteem of God, and faithfulness to the Word of God. We must simply put, see and understand Christ's character, his character of heart and love for God, his Father, and by the marvelous grace of God also have godly character and love and honor God, our Father, and all fathers, all those in authority above us. If a father is to be honorable and to honor his fathers, they must be godly fathers. That means that they must live in godliness and have godly character. Godly character is really the issue at heart. And godly character, a Christ-like character, defines a godly father. It is the primary aspect in determining his characteristic. A father's godly character, which comes from his heart of love and honor for God, leads him to be a good father. The duties which a good father fulfills biblically are, as the Puritan William Gurnall helps us to see, is that first, he is a prophet to teach and instruct his family. Secondly, he is a king in his house to rule his family in the fear of God. And thirdly, he is a priest in his own house, and as a priest, he makes the spiritual sacrifices of prayer and thanksgiving. He fulfills these roles in his godly character and leads his family, his wife, and his children in the worship of God, that they too may honor God and enjoy the blessings of God. Richard Baxter, another Puritan, writes general directions to fathers to maintain their authority in their families. This is such an important point today, when authority is oftentimes disrespected, not recognized, not obeyed. Baxter writes, "For if once the father's authority is lost, and father, you are despised by those you should rule, your word will be of no effect with them. You do but ride without a bridle. Power of governing is gone when your authority is lost. And here you must first understand the nature, use, and extent of your authority. For as your relations are different to your wife and your children, so is your authority." Let me just mention at this point the husband exercises his God-given authority over his wife as he protects, provides for her, and leads her, and he exercises his God-given authority over his children. He is the head of his wife and the head of his family, of his children, as he loves his children, as he teaches his children, in addition to protecting, providing, and leading them, as he loves them, teaches them, and models truth before them in godly character. William Gouge, another Puritan, writes, "The fountain of a father's duties is love. Great reason there is why this affection would be fast fixed in the heart of fathers toward their children. For great is that pains, cost, and care that fathers must undergo for their children." We see, too, further instruction from the Bible, that is, commandments to fathers that in godliness they are to teach their children, Genesis 37, verse 4. They are to command their children, Genesis 50, verse 16. They are to instruct their children, Proverbs 1, verse 8. They are to guide and warn their children, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. In Hebrews 12, verse 7, the word says that a good father chastens their children. That is, they correct them, as we also see in Genesis 34, verse 30. A godly father is one who honors God, his father, and teaches his children to honor God, their father, and him. The Bible tells us, too, that the fatherless are to look to God. That is, that in a real sense, God is a father to the fatherless. In this, we see the great character, the nature of God, our Father. He is God who provides for his children. He is God who protects his children. He is God who leads his children. And he is God who loves his children. He teaches his children what truth is and how they are to live in an honorable and God-fearing way. Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 8 through 11 of the nature of God our Father. It says there that God will supply the needs of his children. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else that you need will be provided for you." That's an analogous truth to what we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 5 at the beginning of this sermon. That is, if we are in line with God's blessings because we are obedient to God, we have trusted, believed in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have turned from sin to God, and our hearts are truly set on pleasing and obeying God our Father in following his will, then it is that we will surely enjoy the benefits and blessing of God's fatherhood. As our good Father, he will surely provide all else, that is, food and clothing and shelter. He will meet our essential needs in Christ Jesus. Just a quick note to those who are fatherless and to those who were raised by men who were not godly fathers and who did not really set a godly example for you. My life really fits both of these descriptions. My father died many, many years ago. He went to be with Jesus, I believe. And I was raised by a stepdad, a stepfather who was not a Christian believer, not a godly man. I loved him then, though he was a very abusive father. I did not see an honorable example in my father, but in the common grace of God, God gave me a heart and a will to obey my ungodly stepfather. I believe that in many ways this was a great detriment to me in my early adult life because I saw that I could not pattern my life after my stepfather's example, and I had no other examples until God saved me and brought me to Jesus Christ, my everlasting Father, and then brought me into a Bible-believing church and blessed me with the example of a new father, in a sense. Pastor Bob really became my new father, and I saw that I could pattern my life after Pastor Bob. I could do what he did for the most part in life, and I could follow his example as a father. And so God abundantly met my needs to learn about God, the good father, and to have an earthly example of a father that I could follow. I could follow his pattern. Friend, if you are fatherless, did not have a godly father's example to follow, let me encourage you to look to the everlasting Father. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, and he will teach you how to honor God, his Father, and how to enjoy an honorable life. Yes, and how to be an honorable father to your children. Godly fathers, I encourage you today, as we remember fathers, to press on in your most important duties of fathering your children. Press on, first of all, in your true Christ-like love for your wife. That is one of the great ways that you will teach your children about our God, the good Father, the everlasting Father. And as they see you loving your wife as Christ loved the church, they will be greatly helped. As you love them in a Christ-like, fatherly way, from a heart with godly character, as you live an honorable life, they will be helped to follow in your footsteps, and you will bless them. You will bless their hearts to be a good father. Their lives will be impacted in truly uncountable ways for good as you show them the reality of Christ Jesus and the reality of honoring and loving God and living an honorable and loving life. May the Lord bless you, fathers, as you love and care for your families, your dear wives, and dear children. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the admonition, the encouragement today, and I pray that you will help us, fathers, help us, Christian men, to be godly fathers and to know how to father our children, especially our sons, from hearts of true Christian love and godly character. God, I pray too that you will lead men in need of salvation to you, that they might come to know you, our Heavenly Father, everlasting Father, and they may trust you, come to love you with all of their hearts, minds, souls, following you, our good Father. Lord, I pray too for wives and daughters who are listening today, that they may enjoy the benefits of godly husbands and godly fathers, that you will work powerfully through the Word of God and impact families, the very core of their hearts, that many will see that it is the grace and love of God that is so desperately needed in our families today. Lead the children to honor their fathers as they honor you, O God, and lead the wives to honor their husbands as they honor you, O God. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.